the land of Haith is beautiful and bountiful. From the views of the swirling ocean atop the pristine peak, to a lucky glimpse of the fourth moon in a pasture of bumbles, admiration can be found. There is a story on the lips of every small god that spans the land, and a journey in every form of nature. Villages of animal folk scatter the Haithland, connected by roads, seaways, and the occasional hot air balloon passage. Most folk are content staying within the comfort of their community, but to some, a journey is bound to call. Mina Leftfoot is a young moth tender, a rabbit with bright eyes and big ideas. Her journey from tower to tower, tending to the moths and delivering letters, will give Mina the chance to see the world and meet all the wonderful folk that make up the Haith. Today, we'll hear about one journey in particular. I wonder what is in store. We are about to embark on our journey. Mina the Moth Tender and Lila the Firelight. But before we embark, there are some things that we have to ask ourselves. And I am just reading off of this journey template page on the Google Doc. There's some other ones in the Wanderhome document, but I like these questions right now. They're essentially a paraphrasing of other stuff. First question, not to dally too much. What season is it?
I'm always particular to fall.
Yeah, I haven't quite puzzled together how how the seasons are going to work in this show. Partly because I don't know how often I'll be releasing episodes, but also just because there's going to be a lot of people. By default, the time we start is the month of till soil in the year of the water lily, which essentially is the month of till soil is the first month in the season of leap. It is when it is time to unthaw the ground and plant crops. So, sort of the opposite of fall-like.
That is totally fine.
I'm not gonna lie, I also love fall, and there's not really any hard lines here on what the actual season feels like when people plant and thaw and start crops. So I totally think that till soil could be like this, kind of how we go from winter to spring. It can just be a reverse fall.
I like that.
Where instead of it being summer to winter, where it's getting colder, it's winter to summer, where it's getting warmer. It just feels like fall and not spring. So it's a more gradual change. It still has those dark colors. Maybe it's here's a wild suggestion.
Yeah.
Maybe even the natural colors of like deciduous trees are like the reds and yellows, and them warming up goes from a weird dark green to the to the fall colors we know.
I like that.
So that's unthawing. To get a overarching visual, I think we probably see an air balloon passing through the sky. I think I set up the scene last time with the sun rising over the water as people began to exit their homes and start sowing the ground and planting seeds. But we fast forward through that view
as the sun begins to set. I think there are two moons in the sky tonight. One is probably closer to the horizon, while the other is closer to directly above. And as they pan through the sky, we see that balloon pass over a forest of dark reds and oranges and float into a storm cloud.
Oof. Okay.
And then we go through a quick montage of all that happening. We have met, Lila and Mina have met, and we cut to now. Let's talk about what sort of place did we just travel from. All of that was in the past. Definitely in the past for Lila. Maybe still holding on for Mina. Speaking of the past, do you have an idea of the journey that we had just been on, or where we have just traveled from in our quest to search for the Fireflies?
I'm not entirely sure how the moth tenders work. But maybe we've just come from, would we be able to get, like, if we were seeking information, would one of the towers that you visit be a place where we could gather that? Would that be a place that we might have just
come from?
Okay.
For sure. What if, so we talked about that the reason Mina got in trouble was that she didn't check in at a tower.
Yes.
Maybe the second tower. What if the tower that we end up going to is actually the third tower?
Yes.
Who has yet to know that she didn't check in at the second one yet?
Yes. Well, she could have had the mishap with the balloon on the way to the second one and met Lila in the process, who then was like, well, let's go this direction, and it happened to be in the direction of the third one.
That's true. Either way.
Second one just got skipped.
we did skip the second tower, and we did just come from the third tower, which whatever information we gathered there is probably where we will head towards the journey that we are on. The next question, do we feel the journey has been long? I'm not sure about Lila's answer to this, but for Mina, it is yes. She's still processing the balloon.
So Lila, because she's very much focused on where she is at any given time, and she's kind of a perpetual wanderer, she doesn't really look at it as a journey. It's just how she lives.
Yeah.
So
it's just a normal Tuesday.
Yep, it's a normal Tuesday.
All right. Is there somewhere we hope to go? I think yes. Considering we're finding fireflies. But do you have... This, I guess, would be a time if we want to talk about location as well as like, metaphorically where we hope to go.
Yeah.
I guess, is there any scenery that you would explicitly like to explore in this location? We could go to the Whispering Peaks.
I know, that has crossed my mind.
We could also always just see them in the distance.
Yes. Yeah, I think ultimately wherever the fireflies are, but I haven't really thought of where that could be.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have a clear knowledge yet. We got some information at that third tower, but I don't know if it was complete.
Yeah, we don't necessarily have a specific location in mind yet. We were just told, it's over that way. Fireflies like water, right? Yeah, some water over there. But ultimately, we hope to go where the fireflies are. And then finally, we answer this question silently or in our heads, which is great for podcasting medium. So totally. If you wish to speak it out loud, you can. Will I someday find home?
So for Lila, this is not a goal of hers. She's kind of at home wherever she happens to be.
Yeah.
And is happy in that moment and does not really have a concept of like a permanent home type place.
Yeah. So like this question isn't even in her head. Right. It's like, what do you mean someday?
I got Sparkle. This is home. I'm good.
Sparkle is Lila's home.
Yep.
That's it. And then we have that scene set of the reverse autumn. Mm-hmm. And we have our questions answered. Really quickly, let's go over the safety mechanics that are built into the game, the journeying tools that that we have in our back pocket to help us guide or discuss the adventure as we play. At any point, either of us can draw on these journeying tools to lead us towards a certain direction or bring up a conversation about what is happening. I will read through them quickly and, well, I don't want to talk about them quickly because they are important, but there's like a paragraph for each one. I won't read the whole paragraph. I will just read them off and briefly summarize what they mean. The first one being, let's do this instead. Basically, whether you don't want to explore one thing and would rather explore something else, just bring it up to the table. Say, let's do this instead. You can always ask, do we want to? If we're traveling into uncharted territory, we can ask the group, is this somewhere we want to go? If the answer is no, we can always change up where we are going. In the same vein, we can ask where to next. If we are ever just standing around, not sure what to do, anybody can say, where to next? And we can talk about the next place we want to go. You can always ask, what do you think? If you are adding something to the fiction and either aren't sure about it, or if you're not sure what to add, you can always ask what do you think, and we can cooperate to build. It's always nice to work together to add something. At any point, you can say, hold on. This is if you need to take a break, or you just need to pause the scene. Maybe you want to discuss it a little more. You can always say no. That's just a hard rule. If there's anything that's just like, absolutely not, you can just say no and we stop. And you can always walk away. Don't feel pressure just because this is a recording. If there's something that you just need to go, that is your project. You can just leave if you need to.
Mic drop. No.
I will not be offended. Okay, those are our journeying tools. Is there anything you would like to speak to on those or add to?
No, those all sound great.
All right. And now we can finally jump into the fiction.
Okay.
We have left the tower. What's the best way to start? Would you prefer to start by building the visual and adding natures to the location that we are sort of walking through as we leave the tower? Or would you like to start with a dialogue between Lila and Mina as they leave to see how they are feeling?
Yeah, let's start with the dialogue. I like that idea.
Okay. I'll kick it off then, just to get us going. I'll start off by using one of our journeying tools we just talked about and ask, what do you think, Lila? We didn't get too much information at the tower. I'm sorry about that. We do focus a lot more on moths there than fireflies. But we got sent in this general direction. They kind of just said west. I mean, there's some interesting stuff over there. you know fireflies more than me. Do you think this lead might be good?
Well, I know that in the West, there tends to be more kind of wetland-type areas. And from what Sparkle has told me, their people seem to have been taken in that direction. I do know that fireflies need moisture. In drier climates, they don't have them. So we can head west and hope that we find other creatures who might know a little more of where the fireflies could have gone. I also don't know if they were taken against their will. Like, Sparkle just knows that they woke up one day and their family was gone.
Mina is writing all of this down. It's not in like a proper book or anything. She just has pulled out like a scrap piece of paper and is writing down fireflies like the moisture. Taken? Question mark. Okay, that's something. Marshlands, moisture. I don't know how I necessarily feel if they were taken. That sounds kind of scary, but you know, it's always good to look at something new, to find something new. And I can always write about it, and write home, if we find them. So I can push back the fear for now.
Okay.
And I would like to take that as speaking my true feelings on a subject.
Okay.
Yes. Adventuring is scary, but I am willing to do it for now. So I will take a token for that.
Okay.
All right. Do you have any response? Any response to that, as Lila, or are we just gonna keep pushing on towards this marsh that we see in the or hear of in the distance?
So Lila says to Mina, "I completely understand your fear. As someone who has basically been traveling all of my life, I know that I tend to be more comfortable with it, but I understand that those who this isn't their way of life may be fearful. So if it would comfort you, you can carry the lantern that my mother carried, and each night you can be the one who holds the light for us if that would bring you comfort."
Okay. I will. Thank you. And she like grasps. Is the lantern just like by itself, or is it like hanging on like a staff of some sort?
Hanging on a staff is probably a better idea than just carrying it.
It's up to you. I've seen both.
I like the idea,
you know, the loop that hangs on a staff, or just like hanging by the ring.
I like the idea of it being a staff.
Okay. I think she clutches the staff then and like holds it tight to her.
And I am going to get a token because I gave someone something that I hold dear.
Oh. And as Mina holds it close, she says, thank you. The light is comforting. And, you know, like my mom always told me, friendship is always the light that can push through the darkness.
Oh, I love that.
Considering mother's wisdom is one of the things that Mina carries with her, I think every now and then I'll probably sprinkle in a saying or two. And I think we push on.
Okay.
And maybe, I don't know, do we make our way over a small hill to find what's next? Through like a glade of forest?
I
picture some object blocking our view for whatever is next, but whatever it is.
So I imagined the tower kind of being surrounded by a field, but within that field, there are kind of like large mossy boulders that may kind of block our view.
Ooh, yeah. There's a nice boulder. That's right there. And we, I guess, take a look around it. It's not very dramatic. I don't know. I picture like one hand on the boulder pushing around it to reveal the next place we go.
Okay.
And now we can use the Wander Home mechanics to build our first place.
Yay.
We always begin our journey arriving somewhere new. To create our new place, we pick out three natures or choose randomly from each of these natures to serve as a building block. Do you have an idea of what you might want to pick, or do you want to roll on these tables to randomize what we get?
I like rolling.
Okay. Real quick, though, I'm going to take a look at one of them, because one of them is a swamp.
I saw that.
Or a lagoon. If we want, we can like set in stone, since there are only two of us and there are three possibles, we can set one in stone and then randomize the other two.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Do you think swamp or lagoon is a better visualizer for what we're looking at here?
I guess I kind of pictured this as kind of landlocked, so probably swamp.
Okay.
But if you imagined a bigger body of water, then lagoon could work too.
Let's go with swamp for now, and who knows, maybe there is a lagoon hidden in the swamp, or maybe the swamp just feels like a lagoon.
That'd be nice.
A swamp is a place where the air is as thick as mud. We will keep that in mind, and we will roll for more of these natures.
Okay.
So, would you like to roll, I guess, I normally say a D3.
You do.
But I always forget that it's not a physical dice most of the time.
I have a D6, so basically I'll have a 1 and 2 be a 1. 3 and 4 be a 2, and a 5 and 6 be a 3?
Yeah, that works. Roll me one of those, and then a regular D6 as well.
Okay, so I got a 1 for my D3, and then a 4.
Ooh, okay. So there, that's a monastery. And then you will not believe what I rolled.
Oh, no.
I rolled a 2 and a 5, which is a lagoon. So I'm going to briefly go through and read the taglines for these, and then we can go into more depth on describing what these natures let the place we are in do. So as I said, the swamp is a place where the air is as thick as mud. A monastery is a place where a community gathers to learn from the past and cultivate answers to the complicated questions of the world. Got some potential there.
Yeah.
And a lagoon is a place of contemplation, introspection, and self-reflection.
Nice.
I am liking where we are building this so far.
Yeah.
Okay, I am going to go to slide 18.
Okay.
That is where we can start building this place. Do you happen to have a name in mind for this mire or swamp that we are going to, or muggy lowland marsh? Totally fine if you don't.
Yeah, I don't.
When in doubt, I can always let's see if Google has a random swamp name generator. I love looking up random name generators. Fantasy swamp names. Let's see if this gives us anything. The Lucent Waters? Oh, that's gross. The Restless Bowels. Thanks for that.
That's great.
The Cove of Bane Muse.
Someone's getting paid to make these names, aren't they?
I know. Turtle Basin.
Oh, I like that.
Turtle Basin?
Yeah.
Not the Surging Marsh.
Surging Marsh? That sounds terrifying.
I know.
I don't want my marsh surging at me.
Let's go with Turtle Basin. Already some ideas swirling and visuals going around. Maybe, I don't know if this is something we want to just add in right now or think about later, but is it called Turtle Basin because there's turtles there? Or is it called Turtle Basin because it's like shell-shaped?
I was imagining turtles there, but I like really shell-shaped.
Because isn't the point of a marsh is to be low and having a hill? I don't know. But then again, we are in a fantasy world.
Yeah, I think you would find turtles in a marshland.
Yeah. All right. So at the moment, we expect to see some turtles there.
But I like the fact that I like the idea that it's shell-shaped.
Maybe it just has like one or two prominent domes or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still laying low in the marsh. Okay, now we can actually go through and describe what these mean. The nature of a swamp. As I said before, a swamp is a place where the air is as thick as the mud. There are some things that this place can always do. This place can always describe the heaviness of the world, show tension caused by stagnation, or bog someone down and give them a token. So at any point, if we get bogged down by the swamp, whether that's physically or metaphorically, we can get a token for that.
Okay.
And we get to choose two aesthetic elements for the swamp. I will pick one, and you can pick one, maybe, and we can,
yeah,
we can do that. I'm going to go with a pungent stench.
Nice.
It doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad stench. I feel like normally when we think of pungent, it's like, oh, bad smells. But I think it's just a powerful stench.
Yeah.
I guess stench is also a very strong word. Yes,
stench definitely has a negative connotation.
You know what might smell not great to us could smell great to the people that live here. So
yeah,
it's going to be a pungent stench or just powerful, overwhelming smell. Probably has hints of sulfur in there just because, you know, swampy stuff. I feel like that comes to mind a lot.
Yep.
But not strong. Not strong sulfur. Because too much would be bad. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not pleasant.
it's only just a hint of sulfur. Maybe there's other things. All right. And then there's an aesthetic element you would like to add to our swamp.
Yeah, I'm going to add something that's not on the list. I imagine like a couple trees here and there, like the ones that have that Spanish moss like coming off of it. So like kind of old gnarled trees.
Gnarled and twisted.
Yeah.
But specifically with growth and moss on it. So still like full of life and resembling life. Or hospitable. What's a good word for that? Just like, because full of life means it feels like the trees are
right
shaking and dancing.
Maybe supportive of, but still supportive of life. Still supportive of life.
And we get to choose one folklore about this place. Ooh, okay. And I think this is why we were sent here. This is why the people at the tower, when we asked about fireflies, was like, oh, you gotta go to Turtle Basin. because there is a folklore here about the treacherous lights deep in the dark.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm not sure exactly what they are. Maybe they're fireflies, maybe not. But I think that this folklore has been generated as mainly kind of like, not bad, but in like a dark light, because they hear stories of people going into the swamp to follow some lights, but then because it's a swamp, they get bogged down.
Yep.
Or stagnant. So it doesn't mean it has to actually be something bad in the end if we look for and discover it.
Yeah. I like that. I like that detail.
Would you like to play out a short little scene here to get a visual of this nature? Or do you want to collect all of our natures together and describe them before playing a scene in Turtle Basin?
I think let's start a scene in it.
All right. Do you have an idea of a first look as we walk in past these twisted and gnarled trees? Maybe we push past some of that dangling moss.
So, being that Lila is a bush baby, she's very excited by these trees. A lot of her travels take her to vast grassland type areas, which are also nice, but being able to kind of scramble up trees and get a higher view is something she likes to do. So I'm going to climb the first tree we come to and kind of look out to get a scope of this swamp. And it is several miles. Let's say we're entering around like the eastern side since we're heading west.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be like many miles to the west that we would need to cross this swamp.
Okay. I think from below, Mina is still holding the staff with the lantern on it, kind of like twirling it a little bit, slightly fidgeting with it, and saying, what do you see up there? Is there any fireflies? Did we find them yet?
I don't see any fireflies. I do see several other trees like this, kind of interspersed in the boggy areas. I don't really see much in the way of wildlife. There might be some things floating down there that could be turtles, but I don't know exactly. And
you see water?
I do see water. But it's not so much water that I see what looks to be a path that we might follow that would keep us relatively dry. We would want to stay kind of on the, if we're heading west, we would kind of want to stay on the southern side of this swamp to avoid the majority of the water.
But I thought, and she like pulls out the scrap piece of paper she wrote on before, I thought you said that fireflies liked moisture. Wouldn't we want to go into the water?
They need general humidity in the air. They don't necessarily need to be in the water. So as long as we're in some place that's not like a desert or doesn't get like much rainfall at all, we should be okay. We should be able to find some trace of them.
Okay. How's the smell up there? It's pretty much bad better. Down here.
Much better up here.
Should I come up there and look?
Yeah, I think you would find it very fascinating. And maybe seeing where we're going might help you feel a little less nervous.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna stick this lantern right here. And I like stick it into the mud, I guess. And I begin to start climbing. I start climbing up, and Definitely not as gracefully as Lila did, because I am much larger. And I get maybe halfway up when my foot slips on some moss.
Oh, no.
And the branch I was holding breaks, and I fall back. And I think we just hear a squelch as I land on the muddy ground, dazed a little bit, just staring straight up at the tree leaves. And maybe also the piece of moss that I slipped on falls off the tree and just like smacks onto my face. And I think that Mina lets out a big sigh at that point. I don't think climbing trees is for me. Maybe something else, though. Yeah. Not everything is in my wheelhouse.
Aww.
And I guess I'm sort of describing the heaviness of the world that the swamp can show. In a sense, Mina is realizing that, you know, there are some things that she can't necessarily do.
Yeah, she doesn't really have opposable thumbs there.
You know, I think when we see her hands, they're a little blurry because we don't know yet. Maybe she does, maybe she doesn't. Whatever the extent of this anthropomorphism is.
So, Lila says, well, I do have some rope here. If you are interested in giving it another try, I could throw the rope down to you and you could tie it around your waist. I don't know how strong I am, though. This probably is not going to work out well. do you think you'd be better climbing up a rope? Like if I tied it onto this branch here, you could kind of climb up that?
I don't think so. I think where's the water? I'll walk towards there and see what I can find. You can be my eyes up in the trees.
Okay.
I don't think I should go up there though.
Okay, maybe we can find a hill somewhere that will give you a view. So from where you're standing now, if you went kind of maybe 10 paces to your right, you kind of see, you can't see from where you are, but where I can see in about 10 paces, kind of the underbrush that we're in, right, that you're in right now will open up and you'll see kind of a waterier part of the swamp. And so I'm also going to climb down the tree so that I can walk with Mina instead of just directing her verbally.
Got it. I think I get myself out of the mud. We see it squelching again. It's gross. She like pulls off her orange scarf and like tries to pat it dry, and then sticks it in her messenger bag, which probably isn't great for the letters. But then just picks up the staff with the lantern on it and says, all right, let's go. And then starts walking.
So I kind of walk in front of her to kind of push aside some of the taller grasses. Although she is taller than me, I can still pave the way a little bit. At this point, Sparkle's sitting on my shoulder. They don't want to get lost right now.
Yeah, and even though Mina is taller than you, I think that at least we can see this visually. She's definitely being held down by the swamp a little bit. So it's almost as if you are larger because you have the know-how to get through.
Okay.
I don't know if it's fair enough for me to say I'm bogging myself down.
Why not?
To get a token, but I sort of picture her being not necessarily less enthusiastic about this, but just more like dragging her feet kind of hasn't done anything super successful yet.
Okay.
Okay, do we want to keep painting this image of the swamp, or do we want to take a look at some of the other natures to see if they can add any more to our aesthetic of Turtle Cove, or what was it? Turtle Cove? Turtle something? Turtle Basin.
Turtle Basin.
I don't know if there's a, if there's any more visual you'd like to put, if you'd like to talk about what we find behind the brush that you're brushing by.
I don't know. Do you have a strong preference?
Maybe pushing past the bushes kind of leads us into a little bit more open area.
Mm-hmm.
And I picture maybe that the sun is setting at this point, just to give us a little bit more of that dark swamp feel.
Mm-hmm.
And as we push past those bushes, Mina's still not paying attention, but Lila's going forward. Maybe we see a bright floating light pass behind them.
Ooh.
Just from left view to offstage right view.
Yeah.
Just as a dramatic, like, ooh, there is something here.
Yeah, I like that.
And then we move on to this open area. Let's talk about that second nature now, the monastery. This doesn't specifically have to be the monastery that we're going into. And this nature doesn't necessarily have to physically be a monastery.
I feel like a swamp would be a cool place to have a monastery, though.
Yeah. But
yeah,
why don't you give us that first tagline? Because that truly tells us what it is we're doing, whether it's a physical building that's a monastery or just the feeling of this area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A monastery is a place where a community gathers to learn from the past and cultivate answers to the complicated questions of the world.
Okay. So it looks like the main thing we're focusing on is a community gathering.
Yes.
For the monastery. So somewhere in this swamp, there is a community. I have a feeling it's mostly made of turtles, but you know, I think there's probably some other stuff in there.
Turtles and mosquitoes.
A safe, maybe founded by turtles.
Yes.
All right, let's build up this monastery. Why don't you ahead and read what it can do, and we can pick some elements.
So this place can always describe the rhythm of daily life, show tensions caused by generational divides, ask, are you willing to wait to get the answer you seek? Give them a token if they're here to wait. Do not tell them the answer either way.
Dang.
That is maddening for someone who's not patient. And I think it's actually cool if it is turtles. The rhythm of daily life for turtles would be much different from the rhythm of the daily life of faster animals, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. Hey, maybe these are pretty fast turtles.
Ooh, yeah, or it'll encourage some taking some slow time.
All right. Do you want to choose the first aesthetic element?
Yes. I like the hermit's cottage.
Ooh, okay. What does that look like? Is this, I guess first, is this where we are pushing through? Maybe the first thing we see as we push through that bush is this hermit's cottage.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of imagining. Not immediately where we push through, but kind of on the other side of this little body of water area, but something that we can navigate to pretty easily. I'm imagining it being kind of like earthen, almost like a hobbit hole of sorts, but not dug into the side of a bank, kind of more freestanding. And yeah, just kind of covered in grasses and things like that.
So these are like the shell-like structures that we saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. Okay. Now for my aesthetic element, I guess I'm technically going to choose something of my own invention, because the second one on this list is booming bells, but I misread it and thought it said blooming bells.
Oh.
So I think that there are maybe along like the mucky riverbed or just everywhere around this area, there are these flowers that when they bloom, they make a little bell sound, or they add as well bells.
Yes.
Yeah. Way to go, misreading. gotta love when you stick an extra L in there.
Yep.
So yeah, we got the Hermit's Cottage and the Blooming Bells. Do you have a suggestion for a folklore for this place?
I think the folklore of this place is this is where the turtles gather. Like the most ancient of turtles determined that this was the place that all turtles should retire to when they are done with the travels of the world.
I was thinking maybe perhaps this is something that we can expand on. Maybe we make our way to the Hermit Cottage and are told a story.
Yeah.
Perhaps this is a story. The very first game of Wanderhome I played for the folklore of one of the places, we took turns adding sentences to build the story of the folklore. So if that is something you want to do, we could do that.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of like, this is where the turtles journeyed from, or either from and to, or just the end of their journey where all go.
Oh, maybe this is where they originate. They travel into the world and then eventually come back. Yeah.
Part of me was thinking when we're talking about these dome structures as, I guess it's kind of grim, possibly like maybe they think of them as the original turtles.
Oh, yeah.
And they keep them with them and like in their life by utilizing them as safety and structure.
Yeah.
So if it is good with you, it sounds like we're about to create a Kith, an NPC.
Yeah.
This hermit who lives in this structure. Is there any more visual you would like to get? Maybe as we're crossing this marshy river to get to the house, or I don't know, meeting this person for the first time before we build them.
I guess, how deep is this water? How deep are we imagining this? Because Lila might ask for a ride on.
You know what?
On Mina's back.
I think once again we find out because Mina stumbles into the mud herself. Maybe not paying too much attention as you point out the thing across the river. She's still kind of like kicking at her feet. She just walks on in. And I think it's maybe about, let's go relatively deep, waist high, which I guess somewhere around 3 feet deep.
Okay. I guess I could swim it.
Yeah. You could also...
Yeah, go ahead.
Just jump on Mina's shoulders if you want.
I think that'd be fun. Although if Mina's falling, then maybe that's not the nicest.
No, I don't necessarily picture her as falling, I guess. I think it's more of just like unknowingly she just walked in, and then when there was mud up to her waist, looked around and went, whoa, hey, what's this?
That is swamp water right there.
Oh, you know, I'm kind of getting used to the smell now.
Yeah. It's not the worst.
Not the best, but there's a little something else in it that...
Smells like rich earth.
Oh, I was going to say fresh bread.
Ooh. I like that too.
But
I'm getting that smell now. I had to get up above, like now that I'm sitting on your shoulders and up above some of the smoke a little more, I do smell that.
And I think maybe part of that is that we notice that maybe there's an outdoor oven or something that actually has fresh baked bread in it.
That is what I'm hoping.
And I guess both of us notice that and we trudge on through. Let me take a look. Since I did so generously give myself that token before, I'm going to spend it and say that this essentially is providing a solution for the mud river puzzle.
Okay.
I'm just big enough. And we cross on over. I think Mina's definitely hoping to have the ability to dry her clothes.
Yeah.
All right. Would you like to take the lead in building this kith?
Yes. So should I roll for it, pick it for like its different traits or?
Whatever feels like most comfortable to you or if you think there is a specific trait that you definitely want, you can pick those. But to start off, let's go through and read down this list.
Okay.
Of stuff to do. We can always also skip things if we don't know yet. If we don't have a name.
Okay.
we don't have to make the name just yet.
Yeah, I'm terrible with names.
That's fair. My secret is that I do often just pull up random word generator.
Great. That sounds perfect.
let's see if there's a turtle name generator.
Get the Ninja Turtles as options.
Oh gosh, is this Donatello?
Michelangelo.
The original turtle name generator.
Wow. Okay.
Reptile.guide.
Nice.
Let's see what you got. So within the first 10 of these, some of the names are Puddles,
oh,
Waddles, Squiggles, Butters, and Wiggles. Let me generate another set. Truffles, Peep, Meep, Tequila, Speedy, Wobbles, Tortilla.
Very interesting. I think I like the Puddles one.
Okay, yeah. Oh gosh. Eris Turtle.
Oh my goodness.
Let's go with Puddles. I like Puddles. Any pronouns for Puddles?
Let's go with she, hers.
Puddles is a turtle, and the next one is a relationship to another character. Ooh. Do we want to get deep here, or maybe say that this is the relationship that Puddles has?
Puddles could have a relationship to Sparkles.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that's an option, or does Puddles know either of our moms?
Probably doesn't know my mom. My mom doesn't get out much.
I don't think my mom get out much. I like this, the relationship with Sparkle.
Yeah, let's do that.
That could be really cool. Was Puddles perhaps maybe like the first firelight that Sparkle traveled with? Or maybe like, or if this is like the grove where the fireflies are, maybe Puddles raised Sparkle?
Oh, maybe after the fireflies disappeared, Sparkle came across Puddles and Puddles raised them for a time before Lila found Sparkle.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Sparkle got caught like on one of their outings outside the swamp and Lila found them, and then they lived with Lila and never returned to tell Puddles.
Yeah. So this is like the return.
Yeah. the prodigal fly returns.
Puddle's nose sparkle notices sparkle first before any of us.
Yes.
And that's really why we go there. Okay.
Because Sparkle was young when this happened, so they might not have entirely remembered. Like, they were kind of lost
and couldn't
go back to Puddles.
Didn't know how to make it back. Do we have a single detail? An occupation, a quirky trait, an interest?
We did smell baking bread.
We did. Is Puddles a baker?
That would be nice.
Is Puddles a good baker?
That has yet to be determined.
Baker in training, maybe?
Yeah.
I feel like in media, whenever there is a baker, we see a lot of good bakers.
I know.
We don't see a lot of average bakers.
My mom stayed at a monastery once that they did have their own bread. I think it was called like monk's bread or something like that, and you could buy it in the stores in South Carolina. So this is making sense.
That's true. I think we've got Puddles, the mediocre baker, the hobbyist baker. So with that, we've obviously have to have an apron.
Yes.
With splotches of flour and dough, or whatever they make bread out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, bringing things together, I think that maybe we have blooming bread.
Ooh, maybe
bread bells.
Yes.
Bells bread. I don't know. We'll figure out some other fun play on words with the bread and bells and flour or something. But okay, and now we can choose the traits.
So, and we pick one of each. So we've got like, do we pick a trait and then pick from those? Like, we don't have to pick artistic and intellectual and physical.
No. So in total, we'll assign 2.
Okay.
Usually I just roll, I guess, 4d6, and then 2 of them are one trait and then 2 of them are another.
Okay, yep, then great. I got 46 there. So 4, 3, 3, and 2.
Ooh. So that looks like it's confident and inquisitive. Interesting. I'll write those down. Or I guess if you want to flip those in any way, it could be learned and watchful.
I like the confident and inquisitive.
All right.
Especially, like, it is going to be inquisitive about anything that makes its way into the swamp.
I will ask as well, do we think we have an age for Puddles, this turtle?
I feel like turtles are ageless.
Turtles are ageless. Well, I guess that also could be, like, in a sense, a turtle that is older than us could still be a young turtle.
Yes.
Considering where this is going, it feels like Puddles is going to be some sort of like person who knows more than us.
Yeah.
I think we maybe want to steer away from just being like an old person, because that feels kind of, you know, the know-it-all, the tropey old person who just knows where everything's supposed to be. But I don't know, maybe.
Puddles is 35.
35.
Yes.
All right. 35-year-old Puddles has some time under her belt, lives out here, and is confident and, what do you say, inquisitive? Yeah. Confident enough to bake, even if it is not the best bread.
And inquisitive about how all of the things in the swamp could go into the bread.
Ooh, I like that. Lots of experimental bread.
Those mushrooms over there, we're not putting those didn't work so well.
Oh man. Still got somebody going on their moon voyage with those mushrooms. Okay, then let's look at these traits to see the things that they can do. Because each trait is accompanied by two things, one or two things that they can always do. Looking at confident, do you want to choose the things? There's three options. I guess you can choose one or two of them. Or I guess make up your own. In relation to confident, how does Puddles, what are things that Puddles can do?
I think Puddles would say, I've got it covered. They've lived in this swamp for a while. They feel like anything that comes up, they are able to take care of it.
Okay. I also then think that, these other two options are interesting. They kind of feel similar to me.
Yeah.
Charge into a situation without understanding the risks or jump headfirst into action. I guess they're different in the sense that one is outlining actual action while the other is just like showing up.
Yeah.
But I like charge into a situation without understanding the risks. I think that fits well because I see Puddles as, you know, she's confident enough that she can handle herself once she's in a place, once she's in a thing, doesn't need to take the time to look it over beforehand.
Yeah.
Okay. And now inquisitive. Let's get some details for that one.
I think she would ask, what's this? And then she'd try to put it into her bread.
So, two steps there. What's this? Can I put it in my bread? Okay. And the second one, let's go with hold something up to the light. I like that visual there.
We've got light going throughout this.
Yeah.
Journey. So.
So these are things that we can draw on when playing Puddles. Because as we journey into this scene, either of us, I guess, can play Puddles. It may feel like a bit to balance. So if we would like to start off with one of us playing Puddles while the other heads off with their character first and then switch, we can do that. But either way, we will have a discussion with Puddles and see what we can learn from her.
Okay.
I think maybe we start off with us just getting out of the swampy water. Probably as Puddles is taking the bread out.
Lila jumps off of Mina's shoulder onto the bank and offers her hand and says, do you need a hand to get out of the marsh?
Ooh. Oh, gosh. I don't know. This is a tough choice. Okay. Yeah. You know what? I'll give. I'll say that. Thank you. Yeah. Here. And I think I actually like extend the staff with the lantern on it.
Yep.
Kind of as like a here's this thing that you gave me. I'm gonna technically give it back to you to help you pull me out of this swamp.
Yes.
And then I come rolling up onto the shore.
And Lila gets a token because Mina took her up on her offer.
Right. And I think as I'm lying there just in the mud again, that's when Puddles comes out with what are they called? Those big paddles. I guess they're just a paddle.
Oh, that's what it's called, yeah.
You know, that pizza makers have or bread people have.
I have one. It is called a paddle.
All right. There we go. Confirmed.
Yes.
No more questioning on that. And she's getting the bread out of that stone oven that's around the corner when I don't know. Do you think that Sparkle runs to her first?
Yeah. So Sparkle immediately is hit with recognition of this place, and they excitedly fly over to Puddles. And Lila, for a moment, is like, wait, what's going on? Because usually Sparkles, you know, if they're flying away, it's because they're going to scout something out. And so Lila's got kind of a look of confusion on her face. And Sparkles starts kind of doing Morse code lights. And Lila can tell that there's some kind of recognition here. She's not catching all of the code, but what she does catch is, I'm back. I missed you. I'm sorry.
And I think that Puddles is a little surprised by this, like, just light that comes flashing. But she turns towards it and pauses for a second to get the message. Maybe it repeats a bit.
Yeah.
And we probably hear from our position her first ask, what's this? And then...
I think Sparkles will continue flashing and say, it's me, it's Sparkles.
I think that there... Because we previously established that it was night as well, I think that Puddles also has a lantern and pulls that up to hold something up to the light, as we previously stated she could do, and says, oh my gosh, is that you, Sparkle? It's been so long. I'm glad to see you come back. Come inside. I've got some of your favorite bread if you'd like. You can tell me all about your journey. I think this is like a real pause as she like looks past the light and sees us and sees me.
Sparkles flashes. I'm not alone.
And we just see this recognition on Puddle's face as she sees Mina lying on the ground in the mud.
And Lila approaches cautiously because she doesn't want to startle Puddles. And she says, hi, I'm Lila, and it appears that you know my companion, Sparkles.
Oh, that is wonderful. Oh, I am so glad to meet you. And I'm so relieved. I was really worried when Sparkle didn't come home. I believed in them. I know that they could make it out there in the world, but I'm glad that they found someone to journey with. Please, come in. And if you gather your friend over there, we can get her cleaned off and a fresh set of clothes. You wouldn't be surprised how often this happens.
Oh, I can imagine. This seems like a place many people would get stuck.
You have no idea. And I think at the side of like her house, we see like a pole or something that she often sticks into the river to help people get out. come inside. There's some fresh baked bread.
Oh,
hopefully it is to your liking.
We are very hungry, so I'm sure whatever you feed us will be delicious.
Yeah. I think looking at it, it doesn't look like much, but it looks edible.
Great.
And we head on inside. I think we probably see Mina wrapped up in a towel by a fire, warming up. Where's Lila in the house?
Lila's gonna ask if there's anything she can do to help Puddles set up for them, because Puddles obviously was not expecting more than herself for dinner.
Okay. I think I can take this if you want, or if you have an idea, I can let you go. But
I do not have an idea yet.
All right. If or when you do, just speak up, and I will gladly let you take the reins. I just was getting us ramped up for now. I think Lila. Nope, not Lila. Puddles. You don't hand yourself. I think Puddles hands you like a cutting board and some veggies, and is just like, "Here, chop these up. I'm going to get some soup on. It is very important to." I'm torn here because I also want her to say, "I've got it covered." I think we see a scene at first where maybe this is like right when you're going in, and she's got like bread balancing in one hand and like a big pot with another, and you're like, can I help? And she's like, no, I've got it covered. And then like one of the loaves of bread falls on the ground. And she just goes, okay, here you go. And like gives you a cutting board. It's like, chop these up. We're going to get some soup going. It's very important that if you are in cold water, that we get you warmed up both inside and outside. She gives little finger guns to Mina. We're going to get you heated up and nice and good. Yes, let's go. We've got it. And then she turns to like stir some stock soup in the pot.
Okay. So I can take over Puddles now. I think I have an idea.
All right.
So as they're preparing, Lila asks Puddles, you know, so what is your connection to Sparkles? And so Puddles says, well, many, many years ago, when Sparkles was just a wee firefly, and I'm sure they've told you that their kin disappeared. And after that happened, they came to me. And at the time, Sparkles was too small to really go find their kin. And so I didn't want to give them too much information at that time because I was afraid that they would go off and try and find them without any help. And it would be a very large task for a very small firefly. But I see that in not saying anything, I made it so Sparkles felt they needed to go out on their own anyway, which is why they got lost. But it seems like they found someone to help them in their journey. And now that you've come back here, I think now I can give you some of the information that might help Sparkles find their kin, their family.
Do you know where the fireflies are? This is Mina speaking up.
Yep. So I do. Where they are, though, is it's a treacherous journey. They are. See, now I feel like I'm forcing it. If I have them go to the Whispering,
no, you can have. Okay. It could be either all or none or some of the fireflies. I think it could be cool to just say like, yeah. I saw some or heard some that were there. That could be definitely interesting.
So at the base of the, what did I call it? I call them Whispering Mountains, right?
Yeah, the Whispering Mountains, Whispering Peaks.
There we go.
Yeah.
Towards the base of the Whispering Peaks, your family was told that there was a place that would be essentially a firefly paradise where they would no longer be looked to as like guides. They were kind of over that, over the guide life. And I told them that if they spoke to the people who they were guiding and said, hey, we can't sustain this constantly, then maybe a mutual understanding could be reached. but they decided that they just wanted to go. And they said they would come back and visit and they just needed a break. But I have not seen them since. And so I don't know if anything negative befell them or whether they decided to stay there on a permanent vacation. But that might be where you will find them.
Hmm. So if the moths aren't leading people anymore.
Fireflies.
That's right. My mind is on moths. If the fireflies aren't leading people anymore and they just have this community, where are people supposed to go when they need guidance? Where can I learn what to do next?
Well, my hope is that they would just decide, you know what, we've been away from the rest of the world long enough and we need to come back, but maybe they don't realize the cost of their absence to the community as a whole, the world as a whole. And perhaps if you went and talked to them and said, you know, there is a need for you and we can also recognize your needs, maybe they would come back and take on that role again, but not in a way that they felt like it was a one-sided relationship where only those who needed to be guided benefited.
So we have to find the fireflies and help them, guide them.
Essentially.
I think I understand.
Guide them back to their guiding in a way that is sustainable for them.
I guess I'll ask what you think. Where to next? Do we want to stick around with Puddles? And I guess we'll get the image of eating soup and bread warming up. But we've learned that perhaps the swamp, this turtle basin, is not where we need to go. Do we want to leave the hut and continue on our journey? Or
I think we should stay there the night, because traveling through the swamp at night is probably not great for you.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, then I think we should head all on, right. Maybe with some bread to go.
Yeah. And I will also just bring up, since we have been recording for two hours and 40 minutes.
The fireflies should be closer.
well, okay. Here's the thing about it. We don't have to find them in this episode. How I picture it going is that we come to a natural, like, ending point for this specific journey.
Okay.
Like maybe we find the lagoon and ponder ourselves and reflect on ourselves, and that's the end. Or maybe we get out of the swamp and see the peaks in the distance. Whatever is a natural ending point for this contained story.
Yeah.
Is where we should focus on.
Okay.
And that doesn't necessarily have to mean that this is the end of Mina and Lila's journey as a whole. Maybe they do go on and find the fireflies, or maybe they get there and that's actually not where they are. This is just one story within that particular journey.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think we see a scene sitting by the fire, slurping our soup and dipping our bread in it. And we all, I guess maybe there's cots or something, or maybe it's just with blankets on the floor. We cozy up for the night. And then as the sun filters through the thick leaves of the swamp, maybe casting a cool pattern on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
We wake up and say thank you to Puddles. as what's a thing that Puddles likes to say? Maybe Puddles finds a letter and says, "What's this?" and tries to put it in her bread. It's fun to see that.
Yeah.
Or various scraps of things from Mina's bag. Oh, you know what it is? I bet it's one of the candies from the basket that
I'm
supposed to deliver.
Yes.
And she grabs one, and as we leave, we see her trying a new recipe.
Nice.
Okay. And so do we want to narrate like an ending view here, or do we want to build up this third nature, the lagoon, to maybe get a view of where we see the end of this specific journey through the Turtle Basin?
Yeah, I think doing the lagoon sounds good.
All right. And then maybe we can get like a scene or two just showing how we're like reflecting or...
Well, and perhaps the lagoon, like from the lagoon, we can maybe see...
Yeah.
Whispering Peaks.
Ooh, I have a really good visual of that. Maybe okay. We see the reflection of the peaks in the lagoon.
Yes.
Either way, as we make our way out of Puddle's house, we find ourselves in either a literal or figurative lagoon. Either way, I think there's some water.
Slightly clearer water area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lagoon is a place of contemplation, introspection, and self-reflection. This place can always describe the water and all the tiny creatures that live in it. All right, so we gotta have some water there, some clear water. Yep. Make matters worse through people's inaction. Oh, gosh. Or ask, what have you been thinking about lately? And give them a token for their thoughts. I think one of the aesthetic elements is a rare and mysterious flower.
Mm-hmm.
I think that maybe it's larger than we would think, or maybe larger than we can see. Mm-hmm. But there is some body of water. But the place that we're at is like a secluded offshoot. Maybe it's like a bump in the lake or a stream that leads to a small area. But in the center of that water, there's a small little patch of land. And on that single patch of land, there is a flower with just a swirl of colors.
Mm.
Almost like a color wheel.
Yeah.
And I think we see a scene of Mina pulling out a scrap piece of paper and trying to like sketch it and draw it to send back to her friend Elicor back home. Maybe she's trying to make it into a post stamp.
And Lila is just taking in its beauty in the present moment and smelling it. And kind of feeling with the petals and leaves, like their texture, and says, "Well, I've got that image in my head for the rest of my life."
Rent free. So what is the second aesthetic element here?
I like waterfalls, and I think that would help this section of like the swampy area be clearer because it's got more rotating water.
Yeah. Maybe this is even like a section of this lagoon, or what really makes it a lagoon itself is this portion where this flower is behind the waterfall.
Yeah.
I also really like the behind of waterfalls. I think they're cool and like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's. I guess that's kind of a hidden grotto, but wish wash. It's a cool behind waterfall flower. For a folklore, I love the image of just, or like the description of the waterfall's broken heart. I don't think we necessarily need to explore that folklore more, but in like what it is, but maybe it came to be because of the sound the waterfall makes. Maybe it hits the rocks in a certain way that jingles some of the blooming bell flowers.
Yeah.
And it kind of sounds like a crying or like a, not in like an ominous way, but just like, you know, somebody grieving.
Yeah.
And I think that's the sound we hear as we see Mina drawing this flower, and maybe in the distance behind it, we can see the peaks.
Yes.
Is there an image you have that you want to close the curtains on, or a saying, something, some last bit of context or substance to our journey?
So I'm picturing Lila kind of sitting on this spot where the flower is. She's now taking in the view of the Whispering Peaks, and Sparkle is sitting on her lap, like on her leg, and she's petting Sparkle, and she says, "Don't worry, we'll find your family."
Oh, and that is where the scene will close.
Oh, that was so much fun.
Oh, gosh. And that doesn't have to be the end of whatever that journey is, as we said. I'm sure there are more tales in Lila and Mina's adventure to find the family of fireflies. But that was the Turtle Basin. That was so cool.
Yeah. So each time you're exploring a different story?
Yeah. So my plan, it's an anthology, so it doesn't necessarily all have to connect.
Uh-huh.
So the next time could be like weeks, months, or probably more on the scale of like months in the future.
Yep.
Or like weeks in the future. But the idea is that I have been on this journey. I've traveled with a person. Then our travels have separated. I've maybe went to another tower, found another person.
So it's Mina's journey and the people she meets along the way.
Yeah.
Got it. I love that idea.
All right. And that is the end of that journey. Thank you all for listening. This has been Left Foot Forward, an actual play series on the Two's Company podcast. I have been Daisy playing Mina.
And today, yes, I was Lila, the Bush Baby. and I would love to shout out to the podcast Three Black Halflings, because it led me to expanding my knowledge, not just of D&D, but of TTRPGs in general. And that's how I found out about Wanderhome, which I also now love. So thank you.
Yes, I would definitely second that. It's a great podcast.
Yeah.
Some great people on there talking about some great things. And if you liked this podcast, thank you, first off. Thanks for sticking around this long. And I would love it if you would go on your podcast app of choice and give us a rating, a review, subscribe maybe even. I appreciate all your feedback and hope you enjoy more. If you want to follow the show on Twitter, I will post updates there. The Twitter is twoscompany1. So, you know, the little at symbol, number 2, letter S, company, then the number 1. I'll try to post things on there. You know, Twitter's hard. Speaking of Twitter being hard, I've made a personal Twitter. As of yet, haven't posted anything. But if you want to follow me, I might post some fun things there. That is at Days I May. That's DaysEyemay. I just kind of want to build a community of like-minded people who want to expand on the great hobby that is TTRPGs. Guess once again, thank you all for listening. And Lila, thank you for joining to play this wonderful game with me.
Thank you for having me.
And I'll see you all next time. Bye.
Bye.